Today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. Our scripture readings are from Isaiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 19, Psalm 14, and the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. Today's message is titled, What's in Your Heart? From the prophet Isaiah chapter 29, beginning at verse 11. For you, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say, read this please, they will answer, I can't. It is sealed. Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, read this please, they will answer, I don't know how to read. Thus the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us, who will know? You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? In a very short time, will not Lebanon be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field seem like a forest? In that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Here ends the reading from the prophet Isaiah. Psalm 14 for the director of music of David. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned away. All have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all these evildoers know nothing? They devour my people as though eating bread. They never call on the Lord. But there they are, overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. You're in Psalm 14. The Gospel according to Mark chapter 7, beginning of verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews who do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? He replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding onto human traditions. And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother.' And anyone who cursed their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Here ends the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7 reading. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new. And all things are being restored by Him in whom they had their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From the Gallicium Sacramentary, a prayer. The dream, the goal, the wonder of any marketing firm is to create a catchy phrase that grabs hold of and catches the attention of everyone while connecting the product to them in an emotional manner. A few catchy phrases of the past, and after hearing the slogan, the catchy phrase, I wonder how fast can you recall the product? So here's your opportunity to think fast. The quicker picker-upper. Bounty paper towels. Finger licking good. KFC. Okay. Melts in your mouth, not in your hands. M&Ms. The happiest place on earth. Walt Disney World. Snap, crackle, pop. Rice Krispies cereal. Have it your way. Burger King. And this one was even bigger. Where's the beef? Wendy's. How about this one? What's in your wallet? Capital One. That one has been around since the year 2000. Yes, that slogan came to be in the year 2000 for Capital One. I mean, well over 20 plus years, they have their catchy, energetic commercials, oftentimes filled with star power in that commercial too. Just this past Christmas, around Christmas time this past year, John Travolta was dressed as Santa Claus. And in the background was Staying Alive. The music was playing in the background as Santa Claus sauntered down the sidewalk using his credit card at various different places. Eventually, Santa Claus enters the disco, drinks a glass of milk, and then hits the dance floor, doing the dance moves from Saturday Night Fever. And then striking that final pose, that famous pose from Saturday Night Fever, he says, "What's in your wallet?" As important as what's in your wallet seems to be for many, there's a place that's vastly more important in your life. The Pharisees help us see this morning and understand that more important than what's in your wallet, the Pharisees complaining about the disciples sets the stage to see that it's the matters of the heart are much more important. So this morning, with a few words this morning, I ask you to consider, contemplate what's in your heart. Recall the days of childhood vacation Bible school, and you sang that song with exuberance of what's in your heart. Recall the song, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And the reason for the joy is the love of Jesus. Now, two verses I invite you to join with me this morning. "I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart." That one's the nice one, and I love this one because you got to get the rhythm just right. "I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart." So I'm going to give you the opportunity to do both of those with me this morning. So let's begin. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart to stay. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart.
Where?
Down in the depths of my heart to stay. Oh, I hope that's so true for you. So to stay, I mean, singing such a song from childhood memory, it fills the heart with this joy, this love of the Lord. But as we grow older, we tend to stop singing vacation Bible songs. And we grow older and the cares of life start displacing the things from the heart that belong in the heart from the Lord. They're banished by worries of work and what other people may think, or times when your will overrides the will of the Lord in your heart. Yeah, that happens. You know, that pride, that selfishness, that it's sin. In short, it's sin. Sin is in our hearts. May these words from Isaiah 29 be a blessing this morning. Verse 19. May they come into your heart and fill you with the promise that is in these words from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 19. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exalt in the Holy One of Israel. Fresh joy in the Lord. Such that your heart desires, such that you want to, you have to worship and exalt the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, all day long. I challenge you, sometime during the week, sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Maybe in the middle of Kroger so everybody looks at you. But do it and let the people know you got the joy, you got the Savior. Mark chapter 7, we encounter occasion when what seems to be that the disciples have returned from the market with some food and are sitting down to eat. They begin eating without washing their hands. The Pharisees and teachers of the law, the scribes and the Sadducees too, they've been keeping an eye on Jesus and his disciples, his followers. They're watching Jesus and his disciples to catch them in doing something against the law of Moses. This moment, the disciples are caught by the Pharisees eating with defiled hands, that is, unwashed hands, while eating bread. This bread being eaten in this manner, it angers the Pharisees. Why don't your disciples walk in the ways of the tradition of the elders? Tradition, it's an instruction handed down. Walk in the ways, it's an ethical issue of the conduct of one's life. Defiled. It really means not that they were washed or unwashed. It means they weren't washed in the proper manner ceremonially. The hands are not ceremonially washed. And the root word translated as defiled is koinos. Koinos. It simply means common. It means shared. Being in common, being shared. And that means it's not set apart. And for Hebraistic usage, it means it's profane. It's not set apart, so it's profane, it's dirty, it's unclean, because it's of the common, when it should be set apart to God. Set apart unto God. The disciples are eating bread without ceremonially washing their hands, according to the tradition handed down by the Sanhedrin. For generation upon generation. Because that's what elders really means. It's the Sanhedrin leaders had set these things forth. As Mark was written for a Roman audience, Mark adds those couple words of verses to explain the practice of the Pharisees to wash their hands, ceremonially wash their hands. And so I did a search upon several web pages of current Jewish traditions. The practice of ceremonially washing hands, it continues to these days, as it was as Mark describes. From Shabbat.org, concerning meal hand washing, I'm quoting from Shabbat.org. Your table is an altar. you are the high priest. The plate of delicious morsels before you, that's the sacrifice. You do the ritual washing of hands, say a blessing on the food, and then dig in to elevate all those carbs and proteins into a divine experience. After washing your hands, lift your hands chest high and say the following blessing. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us concerning the washing of the hands. If you go to Shabbat.org and look up meal hand washing as you do it, they'll have the Hebrew right underneath it too. So you could try to pronounce the Hebrew also. And there there's this caveat given. You may find it interesting. I find it fascinatingly interesting. You may find it interesting. This is the caveat which is given. If you take a washroom break during your meal or otherwise soil your hands, you need to wash again, this time without a blessing. Now, I would assume if you went to the washroom, the restroom that is, you would wash your hands after visiting the washroom. Yet by tradition, when you resume your seat at the table, you would need to ceremonially wash your hands again before continuing to eat. Does this come across to you as making any sense? You washed your hands in the, I hope you did. You washed your hands in the washroom. Now again, clean your hands at the table. Does this draw you into this event of Mark chapter 7 a little better? Such seriousness in washing the hands before eating bread in the tradition of the elders. Prayers before meals, I do that. We do that at home. We do it here for TNT. I do it even when I'm eating by myself, usually saying the traditional, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this feast to us be blessed." Having that constant reminder, it is a blessing to have a meal to eat as a daily gift from the Lord God. The physical gift from God, the physical needs met by this gift from God. Bring in the spiritual. Oh, yes, bring in the spiritual to fill the heart with gratitude. Traditions are good. So as they pass on this reminder to bring in the spiritual and have this heart of gratitude from generation to generation. Yet when the tradition grows more important than the lesson being taught, the reason for the tradition being handed down, the tradition becomes disconnected from the reason. This is a problem. This is the problem of the Pharisees. The outward sign was taken on greater significance than what was presently present inwardly. Do this so others will see you. For others to see has become the reason more than your soul yearns to express praise to the Lord. You want to be seen what you're doing so people think things of you. Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites. The Greek word root means one who answers as an actor. That's what hypocrite means. One who answers as an actor, literally a stage player. What you're doing is you're acting a role. You're a two-faced person whose profession does not match their practice, or one's words do not match their action. Says one thing, does another thing. Jesus is clear in his assessment of the Pharisees, hypocrites. And affirming the words of Isaiah the prophet, Jesus says Isaiah rightly foretold of the Pharisees when writing down this word from the Lord. Isaiah 29 verse 13. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. From the Greek and the Septuagint, it's clearer. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Did you hear? Their hearts are far from God. Hearts are far from Him. Heart, cardia. Heart, the Greek is cardia. And it's the effective center of one's being, of who you are. The place that makes you be you. the moral capacity, the volition, desire, choice, the place where desires and decisions come in to be, the place where your will begins its expression in your actions. That's the heart. It's who you are as who you are. The words of the Pharisees and the scribes and teachers of the law, along with the Sadducees, have become disconnected from what is to be in the heart. Pride in obeying all the rules has taken up residence in their hearts. And pride is speaking hollow and empty words of praise. The words are spoken, but the actions are such it becomes a show. Look at me. See how wonderful I am, obeying the rules, the traditions, instead of lift up your hearts and your life in praise to the Lord. In other words, reaching back to that center of the worship life written in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning of verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Did you hear where all this is to flow from? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord with all that is in the deepest part of who you are. From your very center of your nature, the you that is you, love the Lord your God. Psalm 86, verse 12, I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. Isaiah's words spoken in this moment state that they worship me in vain. The Greek word translated as in vain, it means in an unreal way to no purpose. It's aimlessly, it's pointless, it's without ground or any real purpose. This worship is ineffectual, unproductive, practically godless. Hearts, indeed, that are far from the Lord God. Jesus continues to the Pharisees, Mark chapter 7, verse 8. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. The commands of God they're purporting to uphold by their traditions, in fact, in actual practice, the traditions are displacing and setting aside the commands of God. It's doing the exact opposite. And Jesus gives an example, Corban. It's an offering dedicated to God. At first, parents, that's a good thing. Dedicated to God. However, in practice, this was used as a way to free oneself from the obligation to care for the parents. Relief of that obligation. I don't have to care for the parents anymore. There is now no obligation to actually give this gift to the temple. That's fascinating too. They call it Corban. It's dedicated to God. But down the road, it's given to God if there's anything left over to give to God. There's no actual obligation there to give it. Could actually use it for himself. In other words, their tradition was enabling selfishness, greed in the heart by declaring it Corban, a gift to God. You see how the tradition was nullifying the commands of God. Psalm 14, this is from the NASB 1995 tradition, North American Standard Bible 1995. And it's about the folly and wickedness of man. That's what Psalm 14 is for the choir director, a Psalm of David. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The word fool It means more than atheism. This is a practical denial of the moral precepts of God. Fool and wicked in this really are almost synonymous. This fool is one who doesn't care about what is good or evil, because doesn't care what God says about it being good or evil. This one does what they want to do. There is no God to them, such that they do as they please. No constraints, no morals, and the result is evil. Sin. Sin in the essence of folly. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. The fool, the amoral person, wants no God judging or constraining their behavior. One may say, that's not me. But we are included in those words too. Though may not say in the heart, there is no God, at times we act from our heart, there is no God. For we sin, and we are sinners. We are part of what Psalm 14, verse 3 declares. There is no one who does good, not even one. We are sinners. We're a part of Psalm 14, the folly and wickedness of man. We all have sinned. We all fall short. We desire God in our hearts. We desire the joy in our hearts. We seek God to understand, yet in our human strength, we are like the Pharisees, simply obeying rules and using human ability to get there. We cannot obey ourselves into salvation. We cannot work our way into heaven. We need the Lord's salvation. Psalm 14, verse 7, that's how Psalm 14 concludes. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores his captive people, Jacob will rejoice, Israel will be glad. Salvation has come out of Zion, and that is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It was on that cross of crucifixion with the death of the Holy One, Jesus the Christ, rising on the third day, just as he said he would. The cure for sin. The solution for the depravity in the heart. Freely offered to us in Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. The depravity of human nature. The deplorable corruption in mankind. Only salvation from Zion has the ability and power to make the difference. And the difference is eternally different. The Pharisees complained about defiled hands while missing their own defiled hearts. Ceremonial washing cannot do what the heart truly needs. Defiled hearts need the redeeming grace of the Savior. Redeeming grace freely offered to you in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one. So it is a fair and a good question to ask, what's in your heart? Answer, I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. That's the answer. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. Amen and amen.